Could we turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we were going through 2 Timothy 4 verses 1 to 8 this morning, and I want to follow on from where we left off, beginning in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 9. And we're going to just take time to read to the end of the chapter. And the title of this evening's sermon is the same as this morning. It's Being Faithful, and it's part two in that study. Be faithful. So before we turn to God's word, let's just turn to the Lord in prayer. Eternal Father, we just again thank you for bringing us into your presence. We thank you, Father, for the confidence that we have and boldness that we can approach your throne because we come in and through the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and by the power of your Spirit. Father, we were reminded this morning that as we preach your word, Father, it is not a message from me, it's not a message from man, but it is a message from the King. And we thank you, Father, that you speak to your people through your word and through the preaching of your word. And so, Father, this evening we just pray that we would really sense your presence among us, that we would know that you're speaking to us. And as you speak to us, Father, we just pray that you would speak into our hearts. And again, Father, as we pray this morning, that you would change our hearts and conform our hearts into the likeness of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, tonight that you would just speak to us wherever we are in our Christian journey. We pray, Father, that the message would be relevant to each and every one of our lives. And we pray, Father, again, that whatever is said, Father, would be accordance with your will and accordance with your infallible word. And above all, that you would be given the glory in it all. And we pray these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 9. The Apostle Paul saying to Timothy, "Be diligent to come to me quickly. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Cretans for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus." Verse 13, "Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander, the carpentersmith, did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila and the household on Cyprus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left and Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Ebulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." This morning, we're looking at how the Apostle Paul was writing this letter to Timothy, his spiritual son, Paul being the spiritual father. And Paul is very close to entering into the near presence of the Lord. This is a dying letter of one man to his great friend Timothy. And as we learned this morning, the context in which Paul is writing this letter is he's in prison, he's awaiting execution, he has just finished his trial where nobody stood with him. He was completely alone. Demas had forsaken him, as we learned this morning. All those in Asia had left him. Paul is cold, alone, and in prison. And the church is being persecuted, Paul being a recipient of that persecution. Many people are departing from the faith, and false teachers are permeating into the fellowship in Ephesus, in the church at Ephesus, and they are wrecking people spiritually. There is much to be discouraged about. There is much to feel disillusioned with. There is much to cause cynicism, even in the mind of a believer. But the Apostle Paul doesn't get cynical, he doesn't get disillusioned, or he doesn't get discouraged, because he is strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He is strong in his faith. He knows what spiritual warfare is all about. He's been there and endured it since his road to Damascus experience, when he came to faith in Christ. And so he doesn't write to Timothy, encourages him to pack it all in. He encourages Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, to burn brightly for Christ and to follow his example, and to keep being faithful in all the circumstances of life. Keep going, Timothy. Keep going, Church at Ephesus, and keep going, brothers and sisters in Christ, this evening. And Paul, with that great confidence in Christ, is able to say at the very end of his life, I have fought the good fight, and I've finished the race, and I've kept the faith. All by God's grace, all by his enabling, all to God be the glory. But he's remained in the fight, and he's kept in the fight. Only those who endure to the end, brothers and sisters, will be saved. It's not that perseverance saves you, because it is only through faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone, can you be saved. And once saved, always saved. But it's the perseverance, it's the endurance that proves the authenticity and genuineness of your faith. So keep going, press on. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Do not grow weary while doing good, because in due season you will reap. Keep pressing on, so in the last day of your life, however hard your journey has been, no matter how many trials and tribulations the Lord has brought you through for his greater purposes, as Romans 5 reminds us, to produce perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Whatever the Lord has brought us through, we will be able to say that by God's grace, I have kept the faith, and now waits for me the crown of righteousness. And Paul is able to say that, and by God's grace, we will be able to say that if we keep pressing on. Now, Paul comes to the end of this letter, and he comes to the end of his life, and he mentions a number of people. And you would be forgiven to just kind of pass over all of these people that Paul mentions, because it's just a bunch of people. Demas, Mark, Luke, Alexander, these just, you know, different people, and sort of we'll just come to the conclusion of this letter and we'll move on to the next one. But I want to just pause tonight and reflect on a few people that Paul mentions. And that will be the structure for our sermon this evening. I want to look at three men that Paul mentions in verse 9 and verse 10 and 11. He mentions a guy called Demas, another fellow called Mark, and another guy called Luke. And I want to say just a little bit about each man, Demas, Mark, and Luke. And I want to make a little bit of an application for our own hearts, and then a little reflection on the gospel on each of these men. So let's look first of all at Demas, verse 10. Paul says of Demas, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Now, as we were saying this morning, Demas was a fellow co-worker of the Apostle Paul. You'll find him in Philemon and Colossians. He was part of Paul's inner circle. He was a professing Christian. And more than that, if I can put it that way, he proclaimed the gospel. He was part of the missionary endeavor. Demas was right there in the middle of it all with the missionary endeavor that was going on at that time. But Paul says of Demas, he's left. He's forsaken me. Why did Demas forsake his friendship? Why did Demas forsake fellowship with these Christians? And maybe more importantly, why did Demas abandon his faith and his future home in glory? The answer is in the text that we've just read. Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Why did he not stay with Paul, with the pain and the pressure and the persecution that was going on at that time? Because he loved the world. And when we talk about loving the world, what do we really mean by that? I mean, what do we mean by the term loving the world? You know, when I was brought up in the 80s, loving the world meant going to the cinema, smoking, and having a drink. That was loving the world. But it's a lot more than that. The word love, if we're to define it in one word, it means this. I mean, the world has corrupted this world, love. It's got so much perverse connotations to it, emotive connotations to it, physical connotations to it. It's all been twisted and warped by the world. We don't know really what love means anymore. But biblically, what does love mean? Love means sacrifice. When we say somebody loves the world, what we mean by that is they will make all types of sacrifices for the world. That's what it means when somebody loves the world. You will sacrifice your health. You will sacrifice relationships. You will sacrifice your marriage. You will sacrifice practically everything and your future possible, your potential home in glory for the sake of the world because you love it so much. And that was Demas. What drew him away from Paul, what drew him away from friendship, fellowship, and his future home in glory, it was his love for the world. And he gave it all up for the profit and the prosperity and relative peace of Thessalonica. It seems crazy, doesn't it? But many, many have gone down the route of Demas. And before we get too critical about Demas, let's remember this, that we once all were exactly where Demas was. Every single person in this room once, those who call on the name of the Lord, you once, I once walked, Paul tells the church at Ephesus, we once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all of us had our conversation in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath. We were all where Demas was. But by God's grace, the Lord took a dealing in our lives and convicted us and brought us to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, where we put our faith in Him. And we were brought from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of His Son. As the Apostle John reminds us in 1 John, we now have fellowship with the Father and the Son. And we are in a new relationship with the living God. We are in a restored relationship with Him. We have been reconciled unto the Father through Jesus Christ. We once were Demas, but by God's grace, we are now in a new relationship with the Lord. Saved, redeemed, and on a journey to be with Him in glory for all eternity. And we also have to remember, again, before we get too critical of Demas, yes, he loved this present world and he departed for Thessalonica. But if we're to be honest this morning or this evening, as we're reflecting on this morning, there are areas in our lives, is there not? Thessalonica's, which we're drawn to. Thessalonica's in our heart and our mind that we secretly love. If we're to be honest, even as God's people, even as children of the living God, there are still Thessalonica's in our life, areas that we're drawn to, areas that we love, patterns and practices in our life that we keep going back to. There are areas there in our life that we have to bring before the throne of grace and confess them unto the Lord and ask the Lord to forgive us for those sins that so easily beset us, those areas in our life that we secretly love and that are holding us back on our journey of faith, that are holding us back on moving forward with the Lord that are holding us back in growing in our love for Him. We have got to remove them, as we said this morning. We have got to take them out, bring them before the Lord, confess them unto Him, and ask for cleansing, and knowing that He is willing and able to forgive, but to remove them from our lives. Because even as children of God, redeemed through His precious blood, there are still, if we're to be honest, areas that we still run to, sins that we still commit, places that we still love in the heart, in the mind, and those need to be addressed and dealt with and confessed and removed. Let me ask you this evening. I've been addressing brothers and sisters in Christ. I've been addressing those who have put their faith in Christ. Can I say this in love? Is there anyone here this evening who can identify with Demas? At this point in time, you're on a journey of the world. Your love is not for the things of God. Your love tonight is for the things of this world. You've been making all types of sacrifices for the things of this world. You've been embracing the things of this world. You've been indulging in the things of this world. You know the consequences of it, but to date, you have continued to go down the course of this world. And can I urge you tonight? Can I urge you tonight to turn away from that journey and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and put your faith in Him? Can I urge you tonight to not be like Demas? If Demas did not change his ways, he is now in a lost eternity, and there is no way back. Why? Because he loved the world. Do you love the world tonight? Are you making all types of sacrifices for this world? And look at this world. What does it offer you? What does, as we were saying this morning, what does the people and politicians and powers of this world, what does it offer you? It offers you nothing. If it offers anything, it's fleeting pleasures that draw you lower and lower and lower and closer to a lost eternity. The world never claims to offer eternal salvation. It never claims to deal with the eternal reality of your soul. But the Lord does. The Lord deals with the eternal reality of your soul. If you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can know tonight that all is well with your soul. Again, just like that thief on the cross, turning to the Lord, that thief, that criminal, that sinner, just like the rest of us, turns to the Lord and says, Lord, remember me in your kingdom. What did the Lord say in reply? Today you'll be with me in paradise. It really is as simple as that. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and whatever happens, you will be with Him for all eternity. Don't be like Demas. Then Mark, what does Paul say about Mark? He says this in verse 11, get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Mark had accompanied Paul and Barnabas on their missionary journey. But when they'd got to Pamphylia, Mark went home to his mum. And that didn't go down too well. Because later on in the second missionary campaign, Barnabas proposed taking Mark as a helper, but Paul resisted this idea, believing he was not up for it. Acts 15, 36 and verse 41, a sharp contention arose between Paul and Barnabas. There was a bit of a Barney between the two of them. And there was a relationship breakdown. There was an argument. Even amongst God's people, there was an argument. There was a breakdown. Sad reality of the churches today that many of God's people have fallen out with one another. Broken relationships. That should be happening out there in the world, but it's happening in here in the churches. It's happening in my life. It happens in your life. And it brings no glory to God. And it is terrible testimony for the church. And it doesn't just affect those two people. It has impact on their family, their friends, their loved ones. People take sides. You know the way it goes. It impacts on everyone. And it causes disillusionment and discouragement for those who are on a journey of faith. People that they hold in high esteem suddenly become very different than the people that they thought they were. Arguments, breakups. It affects people's personal devotion. It affects fellowship. It affects attendance at church. It affects everything. Now, if we truly believe that preaching is a message from the King, then we believe tonight that the Lord is speaking to me and he's speaking to you about restoring relationships that are broken in your life. I know a guy, and he said of a relationship that had broken down, and they haven't really been speaking for 20-odd years. What does he say about that relationship? It's friendly at a distance. We do that, don't we? We convince ourselves that it's okay. The relationship's fine. But you walk out of Morelli's one night, and you see that person coming towards you, you'll walk across the other street because the relationship hasn't been restored. It isn't right yet, and you know it. And that relationship with that brother or sister in Christ, you cannot park it or sort of present it as, you know, friendly at a distance and talk yourself into thinking it's okay. It's not okay. Restoration is important, is necessary, is vital for the testimony of you, for the testimony of the church, for the unity of God's people, and for the glory of God. And the bad news is, the phone is not going to ring. That person will not send a text to you. There ain't an email coming. You're going to have to do it. I'm going to have to do it. We're going to have to make that first step. It's a difficult step. It's a humbling step. But you have to make it. Relationship breaks down for all sorts of reasons, as we know. You know, I could bash into the back of somebody's car tonight. We could have a bit of a Barney out there, shout at each other. I'm sure that wouldn't happen, but let's say it did. And, you know, it'll all be sorted within a week. But you know and I know that relationships can break down for all sorts of complex reasons. The impacts of those breakdowns can be very serious. I know that. I've been there. You've been there. We all know. And sometimes we just say, we'll leave it. You know that phrase? We'll leave it. We'll leave it there with the Lord. 10 years later, you're still leaving it with the Lord. No. The Lord wants you to restore those relationships. Don't kid yourself into thinking it's fine. It's not fine. It needs to be restored in my relationships and in yours. And I promise you on personal experience that when you make that effort, as hard as it is, as humbling as it is, the Lord will bless you in ways that you couldn't possibly even imagine. Something will lift from you, and you will be able to progress on more with the Lord and on your journey of faith, knowing that your relationships have been put right in your life for God's glory, for the testimony of the Lord, and for the unity of his people. And what an example that will set to those who are young and young in the faith. What a role model that will be in the restoration of broken relationships. But there's another relationship that may be not in a good place right now. It's not something we want to share with others. But in your heart right now, maybe the relationship that needs to be restored is your relationship with the Lord. Maybe your friendships are fine. Maybe your relationships with family members is fine. But your relationship with the Lord has been distant for some time. Just like that relationship between Paul and Mark. And maybe you are here this evening and you're going through the motions, you're turning up at the right places, you're saying the right things, you're engaging still in the Christian narrative, but your relationship with the Lord is distant, it's cold, and you're thinking to yourself, how am I going to get it back? It's been so long, and you maybe can't share it with anyone. And I understand that. But you don't need to share it with anyone. You just need to speak to the Lord. Because the Lord is saying to you, if you are distant from the Lord, and the text is Joel 2 and 13, and this is what God is saying through his infallible, inspired word to you and to me. For those who are distant from the Lord tonight and feel there's no way back, the Lord says this in Joel 2 and verse 13. So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. What an amazing God, yes? He is gracious and he's merciful and he's slow to anger and of great kindness. Return to him this evening. Restore your relationship with the Lord so that you can move forward on the journey of faith for his glory. That relationship between Paul and Mark was restored. We know it was restored because Paul says, bring him with you, for he's useful to me for ministry. Used to be a time when Mark wasn't useful to Paul for ministry, but now he is. And maybe Mark, you know, recognized that weakness and moved forward. He maybe went through that 5 hours experience, recognized, repent, removed whatever those barriers were so he could restore his relationship with the Lord and refocus on him. And so that relationship was restored. He's useful to him for ministry, and to God be the glory. Restore all your relationships, but above all, if you're distant from the Lord tonight and have been for some time, tonight is the night to get right and back with the Lord. And you know from the authority of Scripture that he will welcome you back fully into his almighty arms, because he is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, relenting from doing harm. Thirdly and finally, Luke. It says of Luke in verse 11, only Luke is with me. Only Luke is with me. You know, if we didn't know anything about Luke, all you really need to know about Luke is there in those five words, isn't it? Only Luke is with me. What a guy. You look as having to stay with a dying man. Not an easy thing to sit with a dying man, as many of you know. A man who is about to be executed. A man who is in the last hours of his life. But Luke is going nowhere. Luke is staying with Paul. 2 Timothy, you will see, is a book of contrasts. A book of contrasts in where there are, you know, when there's Paul is talking about enduring sound doctrine in contrast to those false teachers who are teaching false doctrine. And there are many contrasts within 2 Timothy. And there's another contrast. You see Demas forsaking Paul, but Luke remaining with Paul. You know, those who are awaiting the crown of righteousness, those who love his appearing, in contrast to Demas who loved this present world. It's a book of contrasts. So instead of Demas having forsaken Paul, Luke remains with him. You know, Luke joined Paul at Troas. Luke was always with Paul. Luke isn't coming in at the final act. A lot of people do that. We're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of coming in at the final act of somebody's life, but not Luke. Luke always was with Paul. Luke joined Paul at Troas on the eve of his first missionary journey into Europe. He stayed at Philippi while Paul traversed Greece. He traveled with Paul to Jerusalem, Caesarea. He was in a shipwreck, was with Paul in Rome in the first imprisonment, and he's now with Paul in his second imprisonment, his final imprisonment before he enters into the near presence of the Lord. Luke is always with Paul. Luke always remains with Paul under the pressure. And why does Luke remain under the pressure? Why does Luke stay in this place of persecution, of pain, of pressure, where he's risking his life as he sits with a dying man? Why does Luke stay? Why is Luke the only one who is with him? Simple. Because Luke loves the Lord and he loves the Lord's people. Remember love? Love is the word that means sacrifice. If you love, it means you're making all types of sacrifices. If you love the world, you make all types of sacrifices for the world. If you love the Lord, you will make all types of sacrifices for the Lord. And Luke is with Paul because he loves the Lord and he loves the Lord's people. Luke's nobody perfect. He's a sinner like the rest of it. But he loves the Lord and he loves the Lord's people. So Luke is going nowhere. Luke remains. And that's why it's so important to grow in our love for the Lord, as we were talking about this morning. On our journey of faith, it's love that's going to keep us going. It's God's love in our lives that keeps us going. But we need to grow in our love for the Lord and our love for the Lord's people. And that's what's going to keep us on the right path as we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. That's the mark of a true believer, one who loves the Lord. And Luke loves the Lord, and that's what keeps him there. But you know, as we draw to a close, Luke points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary, he remained under the pressure. Under a much greater pressure than Luke had to endure or Paul had to endure. The Lord had to endure the wrath of God as it was poured out upon him for your and my sins. And why did the Lord remain there? Why did he stay on the cross? Why did he not call 10,000 angels to destroy the mocking crowd? What kept the Lord on the cross? It was his love for the Father, and it was his love for you and me. That's what's kept him there. His love for you and me. He remained under the pressure. He remained under the persecution. He remained as the Father poured his wrath upon the Lord Jesus Christ in our place. He remained because of his great love for the Father and for you and for me. We were in his mind and in his heart as he went onto the cross at Calvary. And so this evening, I want to encourage you, for those who are outside of Christ, those who do not know about this journey of faith that I've been speaking of this morning and this evening, those who do not know of being right with God, I want to encourage you this evening to look to the cross, look to the Lord Jesus Christ, look to the one who remained there because of his love for you and his love for me. And if you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, if you put your trust in him, if you call on the name of the Lord and say, forgive me for my sins and make me into a Christian, if you put your faith in him this evening, you can know sins forgiven. You can know that you're right with God. You can know that you're on a new journey, a journey that leads to glory with the Lord for all eternity. So this evening, as we come to a close, let's just reflect on those three men. Just think about them, reflect on them, pray on them this evening. Let's think about Demas. Demas had forsaken Paul because he loved this present world. We were once like Demas, but now we're in Christ, and we're on a new journey that leads to eternal life with him for all eternity. But remember, there are those Thessalonicas in our life too. There are those areas that we secretly love that we need to bring before the throne of grace and confess them unto the Lord and receive that cleansing so that we can move forward with the Lord. And if you're like Demas this evening, embarking on the journey of the world, making all types of sacrifices for the things of this world, know that the world offers you nothing. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give your life to him and know that you will be with him for all eternity. Mark, sort out those broken relationships. The Lord will bless you, I promise you, on the authority of Scripture. Don't kid yourself. It's not fixed. It's not right yet. Go and fix that relationship. Embrace that brother or sister in Christ. And the Lord will bless you both, and help you both to progress forward on the journey of faith. And God will be glorified. Your testimony will be preserved. And the unity of the church will be enhanced. And Luke, only Luke remains. Think about Luke. Think about the fact that he stayed under that pressure because his love for the Father and his love for the Lord. And our love, as we were reminded this morning, is not what it ought to be. So we need to go on a journey where we grow in our love for the Lord. And growing in our love for the Lord will strengthen us in our journey of faith and enable us to press forward for that great goal, that well done, my good and faithful servant. And if you, this evening, haven't looked at the cross, look at it this evening. See the Savior. See the one who remained under the pressure. And give your life to him tonight. So that you will know as you walk out this building, as I've said several times, you can know that tonight, that the crown of righteousness, that the righteous judge will give to you on that day, and not just you, but all who love his appearing. To God be the glory. Amen.